From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. So, you know, there's this old psychological thriller trope that I'm sure you'll recognize. A babysitter is in a house and starts getting creepy phone calls from some dude, and he's saying, like, have you checked the children? So she calls the police and asks them to trace the call, and then...
Listen to me. We've traced the call. It's coming from inside the house. Our squad car's going over there right now. Just get out of that house.
So that was from a 1979 film called When a Stranger Calls, though you might have also seen that particular twist in 70s flicks called Foster's Release or The Sitter and two other versions of When a Stranger Calls in 93 and 2006 and a creepy 2008 horror film called Amusement and on and on. And yeah, cell phones may have kind of complicated that particular bit of telecommunications theater, but you can see why it's so enduring, right? We all know, at least in the abstract, that danger lurks somewhere on the outside. And the best that we can do is control what's going on inside. We take care of what's in our control. So here's a freaky thought for entrepreneurs. What if a part of your business that you think solves a problem is actually, brace for it, creating a problem? What if, so to speak, the call is coming from inside the company? It's a situation that Hanson Grant knows well. He's the founder of ThinkBoard, a company he built in college that had a lot of early success. And then, all of a sudden, everything started going wrong.
We ended up hitting a low point May of 2016, which conveniently was when I graduated. And I just hired one of my best friends as the COO, and he was coming on full time. And I looked at him and I said, all right, well, things were really good. Now we're losing money every month and we've got to figure out how to turn this around.
But he turned it around. And in doing so, he discovered that what he thought of as one of his greatest assets had actually been holding the company back. So today we're going to dive into Hanson's story to understand what he built, how it went wrong, and how he fixed it. But first, of course, we need to understand his business. It's an innovation on the whiteboard. You know, the thing that you use dry erase markers to write on, then the ink erases easily. It's simple, it's easy, it's a chalkboard without dust. And you might be thinking, yeah, somebody already innovated on top of that. It's called paint. You paint your walls with the material that acts as a dry erase board. But here's the thing. What if you're in an area where you can't have a board or paint?
I created a ThinkBoard in my dorm room because I needed a space to write down ideas, but I couldn't drill holes in the wall to set up a whiteboard, and I couldn't paint my walls with dry erase paint. So I thought, what if I could peel and stick and slap a whiteboard on the wall? And I ended up creating the product for myself.
Hanson's parents have a background in digital printing and graphics and films. So during his sophomore year at Babson College in 2014, he reached out to some manufacturers and developed the product. It's basically a clear film. You peel it, then stick it on whatever surface you want to become a whiteboard. You could put it on your fridge, your wall, your desk, your closet. You could put it anywhere. So he started putting this stuff up in his dorm room, and people immediately noticed.
Friends started coming into my dorm room saying, where can I get this for my room? Where can I get this for my desk? And I started making them for friends around campus.
Demand grew and grew. So eventually he created a Kickstarter for the product and raised $10,000. But you know, Hanson was still in college at the time and wasn't exactly thinking that this thing is going to turn into a full-time business.
I thought it was kind of going to taper out after that, and then ended up studying abroad. And then we got a lot of press in the local Boston area that skyrocketed sales, and I had to hire a team back here to manage sales while I was off traveling and studying abroad.
And that team of his was being kept super busy because the press just kept rolling in. CNN, ABC, USA Today. So now ThinkBoard is selling through its own website and orders are just pouring in, and Hanson's off in Russia and India and China studying, and he's communicating with this team that he built mostly through his laptop. And as he's doing this, he comes to a realization. You know, there's simply no way for him to micromanage everything from afar, so he's just going to have to build the greatest customer service system that he can, so that his company is friendly and easy to work with and very responsive to its customers, many of whom are young, just like him. So that's what he does. He empowers his customer service team to be super responsive and friendly and willing to bend over backwards to solve customers' problems.
We pride ourselves with our customer service. I mean, we've had a lot of people tell us, you know, we've made their day, we've made their week, like on the live chats, on phone calls, anything we do, we really try to do what we can to help the customer. So with that comes, you know, maybe only 95% perfection in our operations, but the customers will let us know if something's wrong, and we're more than willing to make sure that they get what they need. So instead of making sure everything's 110% perfect and me checking every single system every day, it's more just let's let it happen and let it flow. And if something happens, then we'll be right there to overnight a fix to the customer.
And that makes sense, right? I mean, no company is perfect. It is impossible to be perfect. And a good customer service team can go a long way. So he feels set up for success. And in the summer of 2015, he sees another opportunity to grow. Amazon has launched Amazon Launchpad. It's a program that, in its words, quote, showcases innovative products from startups to millions of Amazon customers, end quote. And Hansen submits ThinkBoard. Soon enough, the product is just killing it. It's in the top 5 or 10 best performing products of all sorts of categories. For him, for her, for kids, for everybody. And Hansen is excited. I mean, this is when he realizes that, hey, ThinkBoard could be his full-time job after college. Like, this is a brand worth building. And then Christmas comes along and things take a turn.
And after that happened, we started seeing a sharp decline in reviews, and we were getting a lot of returns and a lot of people were upset.
What happened next? We'll get into it right after this word from our sponsor. Best Self makes products to help entrepreneurs perform at their highest level, and that includes smart tools like a dry erase 13-week wall calendar. But their most popular product is a beautiful journal, which entrepreneurs can use to help organize their time, set and achieve goals, and so on. I've never journaled before, so I asked Best Self's co-founders what top tip they'd give me, and it's this. Devote 5 minutes every morning to it. You can do as much or as little writing as you want. No pressure. Just create the habit of spending 5 minutes thinking about your day, your needs, your time, and your goals. The journal helps you step back, which is certainly something that I could say I could use a little reminder to do. Find their products at bestself.co. That's bestself.co. And now onto our second sponsor. I was about to start recording this spot here for our new sponsor, ProsperWorks, but I wanted to know what someone who's used many CRMs thinks, because that's what ProsperWorks makes, a CRM. So I walked over to one of our sales guys, Jim, and I said, Jim, tell me what comes to mind when you hear the words CRM. And Jim sighs, and he says, they are so tedious. And to this, ProsperWorks says, we totally agree. ProsperWorks is a CRM company that knows CRMs are notoriously complicated and inefficient, but its software is the opposite. By integrating with tools you're already using and eliminating repetitive tasks with automation, ProsperWorks makes a beautiful, easy-to-use system that drives productivity to help you and your team sell more faster. Try ProsperWorks today for free using our link prosperworks.com/loveyourCRM. Again, prosperworks.com/loveyourCRM. All right, now back to the show. And this isn't just a problem on Amazon, because after some months of all this, all ThinkBoard sales start slowing down. I mean, people who used to buy from the company's website were now doing some research on the product, would come across all these negative reviews on Amazon and then not buy. So by May of 2016, things are getting dire. And this is when, as you heard at the top of the show, Hansen graduates and hires his friend as COO, and they have got to figure this thing out. Some issues are instantly obvious. I mean, for one, direct sales customers and Amazon customers are totally different. I mean, people who buy directly from ThinkBoard are more likely to be in touch with the company and engage in its customer service, but Amazon's customers are just buyers. They just want the product, and if it arrives as expected, great. If something's wrong, they're pissed, and they don't want to go through a whole customer service song and dance. They just want the product as it was promised. And as Hansen and his new COO began diving into what was pissing these Amazon customers off, they had to take a cold, hard look at something that they hadn't really thought of as problematic before. Because here's the thing, the product actually had a lot of problems.
So the film was originally designed to work well on painted sheetrock and on refrigerators and on desks. and on a lot of different surfaces. But being a college student with that was fully bootstrapped, we didn't have enough funding to really test every single surface. And people would buy it for their walls that might have had like a latex paint on it or more of an eggshell paint, and didn't really read the description of what it actually was capable of doing. And they tried to put it on surfaces that didn't really belong. And then, unfortunately, some of our spray bottles will leak in shipment. And instead of reaching out to us, because all of our other customers know that we're very easily accessible, they would just leave a negative review and get all pissed off.
So now here's the moment where, so to speak, the call is coming from inside the house, when we get to realize what thing inside the company is actually causing such a big problem. And to be clear, I'm not talking about the product. I mean, yes, the product was problematic, but all products are problematic when they launch. You know, on the podcast Masters of Scale, LinkedIn co-founder Reid Hoffman says that if you're not embarrassed by your first product launch, you launched too late. And that's because you have to put a product out there in the world and learn from user feedback, and only then can you make a truly great product. So what was Hansen's real problem here if it wasn't the product? Cue the scary violins, because the real problem was his awesome customer service department.
You spend a lot of time building your customer service and thinking about your customer service, but in the end, your customer service turned out to be something of a band-aid for a product that needed to be improved upon. And it was really only not until you didn't have that customer service to fall back upon that you needed to focus on the product. And I wonder if you thought about that, in that the customer service that you had built that was so good and had created such engaged followers also hurt the business for a little bit of time in a way that you didn't anticipate.
Yeah, no, that's totally true, is that we used the customer service as a band-aid, and we realized that the customer's number one priority was a product that stuck to the wall and worked. And then the second priority was that it erased perfect every time and all of that. And that customer service wasn't really on their list of priorities.
So the ThinkBoard team got to work. They spent 6 months developing new films that would stick more reliably on many more types of surfaces. And then they tested it out with real customers. They'd send out free samples to customers. And also, if somebody complained about their current product, ThinkBoard would say, hey, we just developed a premium version, and we'd like to ship it to you for free for you to try out. People pretty much always said yes. And if they were happy, ThinkBoard would have one more confirmation that their new whiteboard film was an improvement over the old one. And as all of this was happening, ThinkBoard also began fixing its other big problem, its customer service team. Because, hey, it is not a bad thing to have a good customer service team, but something about its approach wasn't right, and Hansen figured it out. The customer service team was only being reactive. If a customer reached out with a problem, the team would solve it. Great. But the team wasn't being proactive. It wasn't reaching out regularly to say, hey, how's the product working? How can we help you out? How can we improve? Here's what you need to know. So they developed a system to do that. It is, it's going to sound crazy, a 200-day email flow.
So once somebody buys from the website, they get dropped into that, which sounds bad for anybody listening, but it's pretty awesome because it thanks them for buying. And then like a few days later, it introduces them to the company and what we do. And then a few days later, introduces them to why we do what we do and kind of shares a little bit more of that about that. And includes like a cell phone that they can text if they have any questions whatsoever. I give them my company cell phone number. And then a week later, it's like, hey, Evernote works really well with the product. Here's this. And here's an interesting video about being inspired and taking action. So it starts out every few days and moves to every week. And then it moves to like every few weeks. And then after 50 days, I send an email that says, hey, just checking in, seeing how everything's going. And then customers respond, and 99% of the time they're like incredibly happy, and we have that automatically forward to a Slack channel so the entire company team can see all the excited customers on a daily basis, which is really cool. And then at day 99, it says, hey, your 100-day money-back warranty is about to run out. Are you sure you still love the product? Because if not, we'll still take it back and you can still get a full refund. So the constant communication.
How many people have taken you up on that?
Very, very few.
But here's what customers have done. Now that there's this open line of dialogue about things other than problems with the product, customers are telling ThinkBoard about other kinds of products that they want for the office and classroom and home. And so now Hansen and his team are developing those products. The lines of communication are open. And just to keep with the metaphor here, I suppose, the call is now coming from outside the building. And it is a call, very importantly, that ThinkBoard is ready to take. And that's our show. Problem Solvers comes out every week, so to make sure that you don't miss an episode, please subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. If you love what we're doing, please also leave us a review. It totally helps us reach more people. That's our problem solving right here. And of course, there are a lot more stories like this one, along with practical advice on how to start and grow a business in Entrepreneur Magazine and on our website, entrepreneur.com. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Our producer is Nathan Latka. Again, my name is Jason Pfeiffer, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Let me know what you think about the show. You can find me on Twitter at @heyfeiffer, H-E-Y-F-E-I-F-E-R. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.